Well, a God morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. We don't use music too much here at the God School. There's a time and place where I think it can be appropriate. So I want to begin this morning with a hymn that was and is dear to me, and I have every confidence dear, or can become dear, to those who are being drawn closer to God. So with that introduction, let's listen to this song entitled, "This World Is Not My Home."
The world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures and my hope is placed beyond the blue. Many friends and kindred have gone on before, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my
And hopefully that song is going to serve more edifying as we continue on in this 11th chapter of Hebrews. I want to go back for a moment to that this third verse of this 11th chapter. You know, I once had a friend that I shared this verse with, which reads, King James, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And this friend was not a Christian, and, you know, he said something to the effect of, well, you know, that's a doctrine. By faith, understand that God created the worlds. That's good doctrine. That's a good creed, if you will. And as we were exegeting, attempting to edify last week on this verse, that it is not a statement of a creed or not a statement of doctrine, it's a statement of fact as to how the worlds were formed. And it is declaring in this third verse that the worlds were formed by faith. I, last week, think I compared this word translated faith to a law. And I compared it to a law like gravity. We can't see it, but we certainly experience its effects. Well, the law of faith is even greater than the law of gravity, because the law of gravity came into being by means of faith. That is, the faith of God, which declares, God spoke, and nothing became everything. Let's continue on in the study. We'll start again in this fourth verse, wherein it reads, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." Who's the witness? God. And a witness speaks. And when God speaks, when God speaks a thing, it is. And in this case, it's not men witnessing the righteousness of Abel, it is God. Obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. And I think we mentioned last week, if we didn't, one of God's gifts to us is his righteousness. Contextually, Paul says in the third chapter of the book of Romans that our righteousness is as filthy rags. But the gospel, that which is the power of God unto salvation, testifies of another righteousness, even the righteousness of God. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. What is that saying? This worshiping faith of Abel that says it yet speaketh, it speaks to us. First example God gives us is that of giving and giving God's way. Fifth verse. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. I have written next to this verse a description of this faith as living faith. By faith, Enoch, he pleased God. Now, this fella, Enoch, I don't want to go into his life. There's not really much written about Enoch. What we know is that he was the father of Methuselah, and names are important in particularly the Old Testament. In the Hebrew, Methuselah means when he dies, the end will come. Imagine having a son whose name means when he dies, the end will come. That might put you on edge a little bit, you know? The kid gets a cough, gets a cold, you know, straighten you up pretty quick. Is this the end? Is this the end? God put this fella Enoch in the naming of his son in a condition where faith was required. And in that condition, faith was found in Enoch, and he didn't die. There's only
two people in all of Scripture that have that testimony of no natural death, Enoch being one, and Elijah being carried up to heaven in the chariots of fire, the other, the great prophet Elijah. I don't know, folks. We're in a time where great upheaval and chaos seem to be running rampant throughout the world. And I believe in the time of Enoch and Methuselah and Noah, similar conditions existed. And Enoch, by faith, pleased God, and he didn't see death. I'm not predicting when the end will come. I will say that we may very well be in a time wherein the end will come, and those whom God has chosen and has gifted faith, as we continue to operate in that faith, we may be found, perhaps, in a similar condition as Enoch, that when the Lord comes, we might not taste death. That is, the death of the natural body. But as the scripture declares in another place, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall it be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And Paul will say in another place that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Living faith. Verse 6 says, King James, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to read you the interlinear translation. Now, this is a literal translation. Prints out funny, so it may take me a little bit to get through it, but hang in here with me. Here's the literal. Without, moreover, faith, pisteos, it is impossible to please him. To believe indeed, it behooves the one drawing near to the God that he exists, that is, that God exists, and that, hold on, I'm having a tough time turning the pages, and that to those seeking out him, a rewarder, he becomes. So let's take this verse apart a little bit, because it is, you know, up there in the important verses of the Bible. So it says, King James, but without faith, pisteos, listen to the words, pisteos, it is impossible to please him. Okay? So, the Greek puts it in a little different arrangement. King James says, for he that cometh to God, this says, thee to God, that he exists, King James says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, that is God. Hang in here with me. Now we get that first part of that, for he that cometh to God, it behooves the one drawing near. And as this, the testimony of this voice of the scriptures say, no one draws near to God save the Spirit of God draw him. God is the initiator. He is the one drawing us near. It says, King James, for he that cometh to God, that is, draws near by the interlineary to God, King James says, must believe in the Greek, when a statement is being made, the most important word generally in the statement is the first word in the statement. So the interlinear says, to believe indeed it behooves, the one drawing near. But the word being translated believe is pistousai. It's from that same root, faith. It's not believe. As we said last week, faith is more than believe. Why? English chose not to make these pisteo words family, that is, of the same root. I don't know. But we can translate it for he that cometh to God must faith, that is, grab hold of God's promises and act on them as though they're more real than anything that we might encounter, must faith that he is, King James says, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The interlinear tells us, believe that God exists, and that to those seeking him out, and that by being generated by God's Spirit, King James says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him out. The Greek puts it, to those seeking out him, a rewarder he becomes. The word, the last word in the Greek, a rewarder he becomes, the word is the form of the Greek word is genetai. And folks, it's a verb. And it's a middle voice verb which tells us that the actor is doing it for his own sake, in this case, the actor becomes, for his own sake, a rewarder. The root word in the Greek is genomai. And just let me read some of the definition for this word. It says, properly, to emerge, become, transitioning from one point, realm, or condition to another. Genomai fundamentally means become. Becoming became. So it was not an exact with am I, try to believe I didn't say that last part. Genomai means to become and signifies a change of condition, state, or place. It means to come into being, manifestation, implying motion or growth. Thus, it is used for God's actions as emerging from eternity and becoming and showing themselves in time. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But to the one faithing that God exists and that are diligently seeking Him out, and that generated by God's Spirit in us for His own sake, God becomes a rewarder. I hope I'm communicating this effectively. I hope you're hearing it with effect. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, what? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, it's bad. In our language today, that's a bad translation. And moved with respect. Oftentimes we have spoken of the true meaning where what's being said has to do out of respect in the relationship we're having with God, not fear and trembling. So much that goes on in too many churches cause the people to quake and fear God Yeah, there is that. But God did not call us that we should walk around trembling. He has given us enough of the image of Him through His Word that He is a lover of those who trust Him. And a rewarder He becomes of those who trust Him. I understand the other edge of the sword, but enough time in this word tells me that to use an analogy, slaves feared their master, feared for the punishment in that cruelest sense of that relationship. But Jesus said, I call you not servants and or slaves, to get back to the original, but I call you friends. You don't walk around with friends fearing out of some sense that the friend is going to if you will, beat you up. No, you become friends and you appreciate more and more the relationship, and you have respect to that friend. And as in this relationship with God, we have respect unto God. So going back, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet, not seen as yet, moved with respect. God said it. That was enough for Noah. He did what God said and prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Just for a moment, with my limited ability, I want to take you back to those days of Noah. Today we have that Answers in Genesis project, I think it's in Tennessee, and they just built supposedly an exact replica of the ark, and you can go and see it, and it's probably very impressive. But I want to go back to those days of Noah. God gave instruction to Noah as what to build and to how to build it. And he built this boat on dry ground because God said He was going to cause it to rain. Now, in those days, folks, they didn't have the same weather conditions that we have today. It didn't rain in those days. There was no rain as we know it. And Noah is out there building this boat on dry ground. You know, there was, reading accounts in Genesis, there was water above and there was water below. There was what the Bible describes as a firmament. And in between was the dry ground. And Noah is out there building a boat. And I would say this, that in the study of the scriptures, you know, one might understand, well, there just weren't that many people around in the days of Noah. But I have every confidence, having been exposed to some other teachings on the subject, which I'm not going to go into today, that, you know, in the days of Noah, there was millions of people on the face of the earth. And Noah, because he respected God and what God had to say, went about doing something that the rest of the world caused them to look at Noah as though he were crazy. Being warned, being informed of things not seen as yet. As Christians, if we're truly grabbing hold of the concept that there are things coming that are not seen as yet and are grasped not only in the concept of faith but in the power of faith and are living in that faith, the world would say, we're crazy. I would accept every day that testimony of the world about me that I am crazy because I'm looking at things not seen as yet. Like the righteousness which God Himself of Himself imparts to me. Like the perfection that we have in Christ. Like the testimony of God, wherein He says, I will blot out thy sins for mine own sake, wherein by faith I and you and the rest of Christian fellowship testifies, we're forgiven. The world will say, I know you well enough. You're still a sinner. not in God's eyes, not seen as yet, but by faith we grab hold that faith which is a gift from God, that not of ourselves that we should boast, but we boast of God . Having read this account of Noah, I am just going to say, you know, I don't know it all, folks. Paul says here, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. I'm sorry. Pray someday that God will give me understanding of this verse. Excuse me. Pray someday that God will give you understanding of this verse, because I don't have an explanation how by the preparing of the ark he condemned the world. So I'm just going to leave it there. But it says, the other thing, as he moved with respect and prepared an ark because God told him to, by faith, it says, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Heir. If you become an heir, you become into possession something that was given you. Nobody earns or becomes heir by earning it. It is given by the one who wrote the will. Many a disappointed person that said at the reading of a will, "Oh, I deserved to get more than that. I deserved." Man, you got no role except to hear what the writer of the will had to say. What that writer decided to do. And what's being testified here is that Noah, by faith, moving with respect, prepared an ark based on the word of God, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, I played this song earlier, and so I want to skip down from the seventh verse down to the 13th verse, that I might give some context for that song in this message. We'll go back and look at those verses, God willing, next time. But he's describing Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, all by faith, by faith, by faith, through faith. It says, 13th verse, these all died in faith. And I would tell you that that word is accusative. In the accusative case, that is that which is being done from outside onto the object. If you will, faith being placed on them, these all died, faith being placed on them, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed, that is, with their mouth, they said what their heart believed, that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And if truly they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. We're part something. Amazing. An amazing God. By his amazing grace, unmerited favor, and by his amazing gift of faith, that same faith by means of which God from nothing, everything, became and that's the God school for today.